Hey everybody, how you doing? Weather is finally cooling off a little bit here in Florida. And I said about a month ago that I was going to hibernate sorry Gracie. I was going to hibernate it until it cooled off enough to go outside, and it's cooling off, so I've been getting out a little bit more, and especially in the evenings. And so anyways, welcome in, DN2324. Haven't seen you in a while. Traveler's Road, welcome to By Grace Saved. This is his room. His name is Andy. Welcome in. And Leon, good to see you. Art, good to see you. Irish Lullaby, all you folks. You know, we're talking here about the distinctions in the Bible. And somebody was saying that about the gospel that was just being shared, the gospel of Christ equals the gospel that Jesus preached. And just a quick review, Andy, By Grace Saved, was sharing the gospel, and he was using the verses, let me get the terminology there, the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16. That's where we get that terminology, one of the places. It's that terminology is only found in Paul's epistles. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it being the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation, the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so what is the context? That's the name of the gospel. This is the one gospel that will save anyone today. And I need 1 Corinthians 15. Sorry about that. And Andy took us here earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. In verse 1, we see the words, the gospel, verse 2, by which also you are saved. So you can connect the dots back there to Romans 1:16, the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. And just to paraphrase it real quick before I put the verses on the screen, the gospel of Christ is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ here in these verses. And so what I'm saying here, the point I'm making is when somebody writes into the room that the gospel of Christ is the gospel that Jesus Christ preached during his earthly ministry, it's just not possible. It's his death, burial, and resurrection and understanding that. Not only the death, burial, and resurrection, but the reason for the death, burial, and resurrection. Verse 3, for I delivered, I, Paul, delivered unto you, Corinthians. We need to understand you, who these Corinthians were, to understand that according to the scriptures part at the end of the verse. And yeah, that is a good study. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And then verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again or was resurrected the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, if you're asking about what are those scriptures, it is the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures. You can find the death, the burial, and the resurrection of a person in Isaiah chapter 53. I believe you can find the death of this person in chapter 53, verse 8. You can find the burial of this person in verse 9. And you can find the resurrection of this person for the sins of Israel in verse 10. Isaiah chapter 53. There's a total of 12 verses in that chapter. And it's all about this person, but you don't know who that person is. Okay, so the point is, Jesus Christ could not preach the gospel of Christ that was dispensed and committed, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 17. Just give you reference verses for the, I'm using Bible words, Bible language here. The gospel of Christ was dispensed and committed to the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 9:17, we see he's talking about that. And then in verse 18, we get the name of the gospel that was dispensed and committed to Paul. On the road to Damascus, his name was Saul of Tarsus. And the risen, ascended, glorified Jesus Christ came down from heaven above and dispensed and committed the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16, the power of God unto salvation to Saul of Tarsus. And it's about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Not only the facts, but the why, the reason for the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Point being, Jesus Christ did not, could not, was not preaching his death, his burial, or his resurrection during his earthly ministry. It hadn't happened yet. Matter of fact, at the end, just before going into Jerusalem to be crucified, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 31, he's getting ready to go in and be crucified. And look what Jesus Christ says to the 12. Then he, Jesus Christ, took unto him the 12 and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. Who is the Son of Man? He's referring to himself. For he, the Son of Man, shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spit on. Verse 33, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. There it is, Jesus Christ, during his earthly ministry, speaking to the 12 apostles, Peter, James, about his death, his impending death, his impending burial, and his impending resurrection. 3 days and three nights, as Jonas was in the belly of the whale. Right? They should have known, but they didn't. And even after him speaking it, and they, the apostles, understood the thing was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. So, folks, how could Jesus Christ, how could his 12 apostles be preaching about the death, burial, and resurrection, the death of Jesus Christ for your sins, his burial and his resurrection for your justification for those 3 years when they didn't even understand it? You see, there is more than one gospel in the Bible. There's more than one promise of a salvation in your Bible. But there is only one gospel, one promise of salvation that will save anybody today. And that is the gospel that Paul preached. Now, yes, after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Peter and the 12, that would include Matthias, they preached the death of Jesus Christ. They preached the burial of Jesus Christ, and they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It happened. It happened. You see, in Acts, at Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches the death of Jesus Christ not as good news. You know, for me, Jesus Christ dying for my sins, man, that's good news. That's the best news ever for anybody. But Peter's not preaching the death of Jesus Christ as good news. He's preaching the death of Jesus Christ as bad news. Therefore, let, and again, context, who's he speaking to? Jews. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. He's preaching the death of Jesus Christ not as good news, but as bad news. And that's the way they took it. Look at verse 37. Now when they, a city full of Jews, on a Jewish holy day, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? And you notice, he doesn't tell them that to believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, was buried, and was resurrected for their justification. He doesn't tell them that it's faith plus nothing. He doesn't tell them that by grace you are saved without works of any kind. He gives them some works to do. This is called the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. John the Baptist started preaching this doctrine. Jesus Christ preached this doctrine during his earthly ministry. And yes, the 12 apostles continued to teach the same doctrine after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here it is. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Repent simply means to change your mind and be baptized. Yes, that is water baptism. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Remission is not forgiveness. Remission is a future forgiveness. It's not present tense forgiveness like it is for you and I that believe the gospel of Christ, the power of God unto salvation. The message contained in that gospel being, just to review, that Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, died for my sins, for your sins, for the sins of the world. He was buried, and God the Father resurrected him for our justification. Remission is not forgiveness. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, that's the doctrine, like I said. John the Baptist began preaching that doctrine. Mark chapter 1, verse 4. Here it is. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the... See, I'm trying to use Bible words here, folks. The baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Not forgive. Remission is being held... To show you that, going to Acts chapter 3. Again, Peter's still preaching. Baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Chapter 3, verse 19, he says to, again, he's speaking to Jews, and Jews alone, repent. That sin be blotted out. Now, I just picture somebody standing in the audience. Will our sins be blotted out? And Peter answers, when the times of refreshing shall come, from the presence of the Lord. Do you notice that's future tense language? That's when they're set it out. That's when they're going to the end, or unto the tribulation or the end of their lives, whichever one came first. Future tense language. The second coming, whom the heaven must receive until the times of rest, by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Future, the gospel, the promise of salvation that Peter is preaching, that began to be preached with John the Baptist, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, is all about a future day of atonement. It's all about a future forgiveness of the second coming of Jesus Christ, when he shall set up his kingdom on earth. Peter preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but for a different reason than what Paul preached. Back to Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Peter talking about these folks here. He says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. There's your context, that he, David, is both unto King David. Therefore, being a prophet, David, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath unto him. So there's the reason for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to Peter. Now, Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, writing to us, writing to the church, the body of Christ, he says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. And then he gets specific. He says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, resurrected according to my gospel. So why was Jesus Christ resurrected according to Paul's gospel? What's the reason? Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Romans chapter 4. Paul's writing to these Romans, all of chapter 4, he's writing about the doctrine of justification by faith. The doctrine of justification. This is one of those doctrines that is biblically correct. The doctrine of justification by faith runs throughout the Bible, and this is what gives people this mixed up idea that there is only one gospel in the Bible. So Paul's writing about that all through chapter 24, and he ends the chapter by writing this. But for us also, for us, the church, the body of Christ, also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. There it is. He's talking about resurrection. Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. According to Paul's gospel, Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead to sit on David's throne, although that's absolutely true. He will sit on David's throne. That's prophecy. But for us, and according to Paul's my gospel, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead for our justification. Justification by faith. By faith in what? By faith in what Jesus Christ said to us. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did we lose anybody? Still got a few folks in the room. You saved, welcome in. Welcome in, KJV Bible reader. And good to see you still with us, Travelers Road. You still got sound? Open mic.
Thank you, Daryl. That was a clear, precise explanation of understanding Scripture. I'm glad you presented that. Miranda, I just red dotted you so that we could concentrate on what he is saying, and then I would let you text. I just wanted you to listen to what he had to say, and thank you for staying here while you were red dotted. Appreciate that. Gary, would you like to come to the mic, or Mike or Brian? Oh, she's gone. Still on my. No. Maybe when she was red dotted, she might have went to another room. Darn it, I wanted her to listen. Because sometimes you just have to listen, and then you can get what you don't understand. But if you don't listen, you'll never understand you'll never grow if you don't listen. Because you're limited by what you think. If you listen to others, what they think, and what God thinks, then you grow. But if you don't listen to clear, precise teaching by someone more intelligent and clear speaking and good sound doctrine, then you won't grow. That's not what I intended. I just wanted that person to listen. I didn't want them to leave the room entirely and not listen, but okay. maybe other people heard that message. I should have recorded it, but I didn't. Okay, Daryl, the audience is what matters, yeah. Who's in the room at the time. But I should be recording these messages because they're good. It was a clear, precise, and you did it slowly in case someone didn't grasp the concepts, and you clearly showed through the scripture. My problem is I go too fast. I want to get it out there, but then probably nobody receives it. But good job, Daryl, and thank you, Gary. Would you like to come to the mic and give your precise sound doctrine teachings as well, or Mike or Brian? I wish Gracie had sound, and Ed, you as well. Would you like to come to the mic? I know you're under the weather, but still, it's good to hear your teachings as well. I'm tired. I worked. I worked today, but not too long. But what I did within my work, within those hours, it was hard labor. But anyway, I hope everybody listened to Daryl when he was speaking. It was a good message. Mike, would you like to come to the mic, or Brian, or Janice? Do you have any questions, or would you like to say something? Oh, you're on the phone. Okay. Because that's what this room is all about. This room is understanding scripture. That's what I want everybody to understand. God wants everybody to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. I want people to understand as much as we can. It's God's word to us and for us. Go ahead, Ed. You're welcome to the mic.
Yeah, I'm a little under the weather. Yeah. But that was good, Daryl. That was like perfectly timed, you know. And just repeat that way you did it there, and do it the same way. You know, not that you don't do it any differently, but your timing was perfect, and the verses coming up, and all that. It was excellent. Like a heat-seeking missile, you know, it's going for its target, and it doesn't miss. It just tracks it, and it finds it, and it does its job. Bite-sized portion. But sometimes I think they need to see the differences, the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of Christ. And I think the way Daryl presented, showing them how we get saved today, and then what was said, you know, prior, and show them the differences, show them that it's an impossibility that we're saved by the gospel of the kingdom today. Well, there's the gospel of Christ, there's the gospel of God, there's the everlasting gospel, there's the gospel of the kingdom. What else? There may be more, 14 or 15. there's a lot of them. You know, it simply means good news. What's the good news? What was the good news that Moses preached? You know, he'll free them from the bondage of Egypt. You know, and give them the promised land. You know, that was their good news. They believed that. Now, why are they entitled to have their good news? Well, all of a sudden, our good news is different. It's the same as theirs. No, that's not what we see, and that's not what the Bible clearly teaches. Clearly, and to think that there's only one gospel is that goes beyond blunder. Like that's just complete denial of the Bible. And a lot of times it goes through they're not saved. They're not trusting Christ died for their sins, so they can't see it. They have a blinding of Satan is blinding them to the truth because they're not fully trusting in Christ's finished cross work. They're trusting in their performance. And we all deal with people like that, and we do our best. We show them, we present the gospel, we preach it to them, and it's up to them to believe and receive that free gift. And if they don't, they're just going to continue to seeing the Bible the way they do, by mixing it up. That's Satan blinding them. So they have to come to the point and realize, hey, they need a Savior, and they're not the Savior. Only Christ is the Savior. Open mic down.
Thank you. That question about how many Gospels are there in the Bible. And it's kind of like how many dispensations are there in human history. And you can always go do a word search, a simple word search on your King James Bible and find the gospel of this, the gospel of that. But as Ed was talking about on the mic, and as Mike put it in the text, right, I'll just read what Mike wrote. There are over 10 good newses. Good news, gospel means good news in the book of Genesis alone, but they're not called the gospel. And like Ed was saying, there was good news for Adam and Eve in the garden, right, Janice? Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you're good to go, and you'll live forever, right? So isn't that good news? And they failed. And then there was, although it's not written, I'll just skip over the sacrificial system. There was good news given to Noah, right? Build a boat, make sure that sucker floats, and you'll survive the coming flood, you and your family, and anybody who gets on with you, right? Wasn't that good news to Noah? There was, Paul calls it, I gotta do a word search, I can't remember, calls it the gospel unto Abraham in Galatians 3:8. Paul talks about And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And you can go back to Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 through 3 and just put verse 3 on the screen, and there you find that gospel unto Abraham. That was a promise that God made unto, and that was good news. And we listened to a study the other day, or I did, I don't know if I did it here or not, where that Abrahamic covenant of Genesis 12 was, a lot of people make a big deal out of the words thee, that singular pronoun. Well, we can find in Scripture, and I'd have to open up my cross-reference Bible here where I've written the cross-references in. I keep trying to encourage you guys to start writing down your own cross-references. And believe it or not, that's a big part of your studying to show yourself approved unto God, is writing down cross-references when these great teachers come up with them. But I've got cross references that'll show that covenant that God made with Abram, his name was Abram still in Genesis chapter 12, was passed on to the child of promise, Isaac, and then on to Jacob, and then on to all the nation of Israel, right? Not sure what. I guess you're talking to somebody, Mike, in text. I'm sorry. Oh, you're talking to Janice. So, there's a whole bunch of Gospels in the Bible that aren't labeled as such.
Are you saved?
You, the good news that came after the law, you know, it would be Genesis or Exodus, chapter 19. Where am I here? I'll just come in at verse 5. I can make a case that this is a gospel. This is the gospel of the law. This is a dispensation of the law. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So if they keep the covenant, keep the law, then the good news is they shall be a kingdom of priests. That in essence is a gospel. So yeah, there's a whole bunch of gospels in the Bible. Good news. That's why I like to use that terminology, promise of salvation. You know, not all gospels are a promise like the gospel of God. There is no salvation in the gospel of God that is the foundational gospel. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is the foundational gospel that Paul preached, the gospel, the promise of salvation that Paul preached. The gospel of God is foundational to that. It's also foundational to the gospel that Peter was preaching after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's foundational. But there's no, you know, simply believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God will not save anyone today. And that is what the gospel of God is. I'll just put verse 4 on the screen. That's proven by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's foundational to the gospel that saves anyone today, the gospel of Christ. It's also foundational to the gospel that Peter preached, right? That Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. And like I said, Peter preached the death, burial, and the resurrection. But there is no promise of salvation in the gospel of God. Simply believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God won't save anyone today under the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, nor would it save anybody under Peter's gospel. That was just the foundation, right? First of all, they needed to understand that Jesus was the Christ. Remember we read in Acts chapter 2, verse 36? This Jesus, whom you have crucified, is both Lord and Christ. There's the gospel of God. Well, what do we do about it, Peter? And again, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. I'd say that's a gospel also, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So, I don't know, Mike was saying that there's a study in there, and I don't know if, you know, most of the studies that I've done, people have gone through and done a proof texting type thing. A proof texting type thing on the word gospel in the Bible, where you find gospel in the Bible. And, but like Mike was saying, and Ed was saying, Mike was saying in text and Ed was saying on the microphone, you know, there are a whole bunch of gospels, and good news is good news in the Bible. There's a whole bunch of promises of salvation in the Bible that don't use the word gospel. So I've never heard a really good study on that, but just understanding that, you'll be able to recognize a gospel when you see it. And that is the biggest error, the biggest blunder in religion today. There's only one gospel in the Bible theory. And it's a theological position. And it's based entirely on the doctrine of justification by faith. Open mic.